Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR, Todd Tranowski. We hope everybody enjoyed last week's episode with John Schmitter, with a good conversation about the industry, about shipping visibility, about where we are, where we're going. That's certainly an issue that's a top of mind for everybody right now with the service issues that are being faced across really all facets of the rail industry. We thank him for joining us again, and we thank all of you for taking time out of your busy schedule on this week before the holiday for joining us and hear about what's going on in the rail transportation marketplace. Hopefully, everybody gets a chance in the upcoming days to get away, get out of the office, get some time with family, with some barbecue and some fireworks, and gets out and enjoys the July 4th holiday. We will not be taking time off for the holiday this year. We will be right back here next week to talk again about the markets, so we do hope you join us. So as we jump in this week, the carload volumes are really holding mostly steady, sort of where they have been ahead of the July 4th holiday. Obviously, next week things will take a step down as folks cope with the holiday and shut down operations over the weekend, but for the most part, things have held their own ahead of the holiday. Weekly intermodal loadings are really very close to the Memorial Day holiday week levels. We really haven't moved much at all from those levels, which suggests that it's a service issue more than a structural issue that's holding those volumes down below where they had been operating prior. We look at overall intermodal loadings, we're still at a very strong level. We're still right about 370,000 carloads a week, which if you look at the five-year average, we're about 20,000 carloads above the five-year average. We haven't really seen a peak season response yet. That sometimes you see an early peak season increase before the 4th of July. We haven't seen that quite yet, and we wouldn't expect to see it next week with the holiday effects. But ultimately, we are still running at very high levels in the intermodal marketplace. Trailers is a little bit different story. We have held pretty steady, right below 23,000 carloads a week. We took a step down. We were basically dead steady at 25,000 carloads a week for about two or three months earlier this year, and then took a step down with the Memorial Day holiday, and really haven't recovered. haven't recovered since then. We've just sort of held at a very flat line, just below 23,000 carloads a week. It's below the five-year average. It's less than we have been, but it's still a relatively healthy number for the trailer market. So I wouldn't get too concerned about that, particularly going into the peak season, going into a time when demand is going to increase as we go forward. Container volumes are continuing to hold the high ground. As you would expect, this chart looks a lot like the overall intermodal chart because containers are 90% of the rail loadings in intermodal. So obviously that makes a lot of sense. And will continue to make sense and will continue to be an issue as we go forward in time. You'll expect to see containers hold that high ground, but you'll also expect containers to increase as we go through the next couple of months, as we get into the so-called peak season, really over the next 30 to 45 days. We would expect to see that number, go back up toward that 360,000 number that we had been running at for a while most of the year. We would expect to go back to that number, if not exceed that number. If we don't, then that says there's something structurally that's not allowing intermodal to get above that. Obviously, congestion could be one of those issues. Lingering service problems could be one of those things. We've heard a lot from shippers recently about the state of service on the railroads. It's been an issue. It's been something that's top of mind. It's been something it's water cooler conversation across the industry, and we're going to have to address it. It's going to have to be dealt with in some way, shape, or form as we go forward in time. Otherwise, highway-to-rail conversions aren't going to be there. They're not going to be something that we're really looking at and focusing on. Shifting gears to the carload markets, carloads are in a slow drift. You're sort of slowly drifting lower, pulling away from that five-year average, but still at healthy levels. The carload market is still okay. You know, we're not in a death spiral. We're not seeing a sharp decline. We're just sort of slowly ebbing away over time. Now, the economically sensitive freight shows a little bit more of a dramatic shift, a little bit less of a slow decline, definitely sort of a step function decline about a month ago, and then we've held those levels ever since. But you've also would expect to see a much sharper increase in the five-year average in economically sensitive freight than what we've seen so far. We haven't seen any sort of indication of a peak season in those economically sensitive freight commodities. As a reminder for those of you who aren't necessarily familiar with FTR, when we talk about economically sensitive freight, that means we pull out the coal, we pull out the agriculture, and we pull out the petroleum. We look at just those sectors that are more closely tied to the underlying economy. Things like lumber, things like pulp and paper, things like metals, things like automotive are in this number. The coal market has settled out. The coal market, as we shift over to the bulk segments, coal has sort of settled right about 75,000 carloads a week. We have not continued to see the seasonal uptick that you would expect to see. And that's, in part, John talked about it last week, is a little bit because of metallurgical coal demand, metallurgical export coal demand. So it's not domestic restocking. It doesn't follow the domestic restocking cycle. It's a more transient market, a more episodic market responding to global coal prices at that point. We wouldn't expect to see this number go much higher than this at this point, and there's certainly downside risk as places like Indiana, places like Texas have had a relatively cool start to the summer. We have not seen sort of the stifling heat that you might expect and that might drive coal usage and electricity consumption up even higher. Shifting gears into other bulk sectors, grain has weakened. Grain has weakened over about the last 6 weeks. It's been on a rather significant decline, and now we're back essentially to our five-year average. And we would expect this to persist through the harvest and then see things start to turn around and then see things start to go back up, hopefully back to those levels that we saw earlier this year, where things were very much above the five-year average. It was really a strong response by the entire ag space. We've seen weakening really across the ag space, not just grain, also farm products, food products, has been a lot weaker than it was earlier in the year. Chemicals volumes. Chemicals traffic has definitely taken what I'm terming a summer swoon. Over the last really 4 to 5 weeks, things have really dropped off. And this is a four-week average number here in blue. If I showed you the absolute week-to-week numbers, it's a lot more dramatic of a decline than what we're seeing in the four-week average number, which is a little bit surprising. Chemicals is a sector we thought was going to continue to run strong all the way through the year. You had an outage in February and March because of the freeze along the Gulf Coast. You had expected volumes gap to make up. Maybe we're not seeing that. Maybe we're seeing things settle into a slower pattern as we head into the summer, which is a little bit surprising and raises some questions about the durability of manufacturing demand, the durability of resin demand, the durability of some of those other plants that were affected earlier this year. Those chemicals really isn't being affected in any meaningful way up or down by petroleum products, even though we've started to see pricing come back. We have not seen an increase in drilling activity. The Baker Hughes rig count that came out last Friday was flat sequentially. The overall output levels have not moved much. The rail volumes have not moved much. As you can see over the last 8 weeks, the blue line shows volumes. It's really very steady, right about 19,500 carloads a week. And it'll be interesting to see when the spigot turns on. When does things actually turn around? And we'll have to see. We expect it to happen, particularly as we get prices of $75 a barrel. If we move higher than that, you would expect to see the spigot turn on, but we just have not seen it. Have not seen it yet. Stone, sand, and gravel, really pretty weak, but it's steady at weak levels, but it's still weak levels. And I think everybody needs to just understand that this is basically where we are at this point. This is where this sector is going to run. Over the last couple of weeks, we've seen essentially seasonal activity. It's been off out of phase by about a week, excuse me, but it's really just showing a typical seasonal pattern through time at its very low level, between about 23 and 25,000 carloads a week. Lumber and wood had been very hot over the last 6 weeks. That's obviously housing related in a lot of ways. We have seen that slow down a little bit. We have seen lumber and wood demand start to tail off closer to its five-year average over the last couple of weeks. That's something we're going to have to watch for housing demand, watch for housing starts, as we go forward in time. But it's possible we could be, past the peak of the housing market as we go forward in time. One sector in the forest products sector that's been a surprise over the last couple weeks is pulp and paper. Pulp and paper was one of those, I've said it about 6 weeks ago, that it probably wasn't going to turn around. Well, it made a liar out of me. It did turn around. And now pulp and paper went above its five-year average and now is really essentially in line with its five-year average. But considering where it was, considering that it was below its five-year average for so long over the last 18 months, to see it get back in line with its five-year average is a positive thing. That's a positive development for that space, particularly with e-commerce, with online shipping slowing down as people get back to normal, to see that there's still demand for box board, there's still demand for some of those other things in the marketplace that support this commodity group, that's a good thing. That's a good news story ultimately for the railroads if they can hold on to it over time. And wrapping up, the automotive market. This continues to be affected by supply shortages. Whether it's semiconductors, whether it's resins, whether it's rubber, there continue to be ongoing issues here. And so it's going to run right around 20,000 carloads a week until the dam breaks. Until automotive manufacturers are able to get supply in the door, there's really not going to be a turnaround in this number. Now, when there is, there's going to be a very dramatic, we expect, turnaround in these numbers. But we're not there yet. We're not there yet. We have no sign of being there. We've heard everything from this month to next year for when the issue is going to be resolved, and we'll just have to wait and see. This is one, it doesn't do you a whole lot of good to forecast because you're not forecasting demand. You're not forecasting supply. You're really forecasting the supply chain. You're forecasting when is the supply chain disruption going to ease. Folks don't generally know that, and we'll see it after the fact. We'll see it in the numbers, and we'll see it when the numbers respond. We hope to see it in the second half of the year, but to this point, it has shown no signs of showing up. So to wrap up, some key takeaways this week. Intermodal definitely taking a breather before the peak season surge comes, but it's still at a strong level. It's still at an okay level. The carload markets are sort of slowly losing ground as we go forward in time, but most sectors are really sort of taking a breather as we head toward the halfway point of the year, the halfway point of the summer. They're really just sort of taking a pause and probably will take a pause until we get to the other side of the July 4th holiday. And with that, I'd like to wrap up. I'd like to thank you for joining us this and every week on the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. Thank you for joining us. Have a great and safe July 4th holiday weekend with your families and your barbecues and your fireworks. And we look to talk to you, look forward to talking to you again next week on the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. Thank you and have a great week.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.